We've been going through a series about grace. I want to read a story as we get started this morning as we think about the topic of grace. There's a story of a young boy who was very mischievous. His boyhood mischief grew into young adult rebellion. He rode motorcycles, learned how to pilot planes, and lived life in the fast lane. "I just wanted to have fun," he said, describing the wild times of drinking beer and going out to parties and running around with different girls. He smoked and drank and he got in fights and admitted trying marijuana. He said he loves to live life on that adrenaline rush. A friend said, "You know, whether it's an airplane or a fast motorcycle or doing something on the edge, he just always wanted to push the limits." His family sent him to Stony Brook, an elite Christian boarding school on Long Island in New York. He dropped out and was later expelled from another school, Laterno College in Longview, Texas, for keeping a female classmate out all night past curfew. Things would soon change. During a trip to Switzerland in 1974, his father talked to his 22-year-old son about the direction in his life. This young, rebellious adult was Franklin Graham, the son of the famous evangelist Billy Graham, now who leads Samaritan's Purse and other ministries as well. He remembers his father looking him straight in the eye and saying, "I want you to know that your mother and I sense there is a struggle for the soul of your life, and you're going to have to make a choice." These words troubled Graham as he continued on his tour of Europe. Driving across the countryside with a bottle of scotch in his hand, he began to think about the conversation with his father. One night in a hotel room in Jerusalem, Franklin's life changed. He describes his epiphany in a passage from his 1995 autobiography, "Rebel with a Cause, Finally Comfortable Being Graham." He says, "That night, instead of going to the bar for a couple of beers, I found myself alone in my room reading through the Gospel of John. When I came to the third chapter, I read not just that Jesus told Nicodemus he had to be born again, but I also grasped that Franklin Graham had to be born again as well." Shortly after this experience, he returned to North Carolina and married a hometown sweetheart, Jane Austin Cunningham, on his parents' front lawn. During the ceremony, he publicly told everyone how his life had changed. This story of Franklin Graham's life is a reminder of the passage where Jesus describes a son who wanted to get out from under his father's authority. He wanted to live life on his own. And that's the passage we're going to be looking at this morning. So turn with me to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, as we look at the parable Jesus told of God's grace. In Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, just so you get the circumstances, verse 1 of Luke chapter 15, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. And the Pharisees and scribes grumbled, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" Jesus overhears their grumblings. He responds with three familiar parables that we all have heard before: the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and finally, the parable of the lost son, the prodigal son. Jesus describes God's grace by telling a parable. A parable, if you don't know, is an earthly story. It depicted events that were probable, that could happen, but it was a story, but it had spiritual implications. So it was an earthly story of events that could have happened with spiritual implications. So the lost sheep, I'm sure there were people, shepherds standing around who were like, "I've had that happen. I've had a sheep run off." The lost coin, I'm sure you've all had that, where you thought you had money in your pockets and you search and finally find it when it comes out in the wash, right? Weeks later or sometime later, or you put a coat on and you stick your hand in, hey, there's $20. That happens, right? So these parables were things that could happen, but they had a heavenly emphasis. Many times Jesus would say things like, "The kingdom of God is like," and then he would talk about it, a scenario of how the kingdom of God was like something on earth as well. Let's read the first portion of our text this morning, starting in verse 11. And Jesus said, he's telling this third parable, and Jesus said there was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And the father divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his field to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, but no one gave him anything. No one gave him anything. The first point is that grace was rejected. Grace was rejected. The father was showing this son grace, I'm sure, in dealing with all the situations that were going on. I'm sure for some reason or another, the son despised living with his father. He didn't want to be under his father's authority anymore. He wanted to be out on his own. He wanted to be doing his own thing. Maybe this is a familiar story to some of you who have raised children. Children tend to go through a rebellious stage. Maybe they run away from home or decide they don't want to live under their parents' authority anymore. This son is taking it essentially a bit farther, though. He comes to his father and he says, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. That share of the property wouldn't come to the son until the father died. So in essence, the son is coming to his father and he's saying, Dad, I wish you were dead. Will you just give me what's coming to me when you die? Will you just give me what's deserved, what's owed to me? You're going to die anyways. Just give it to me. That's essentially what this son is saying to his father. The Bible tells us that we are just like this son. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, says, for although they, talking about humanity, those who have disowned God, those who have been disobedient towards God, although they knew God, God had revealed himself to them, although they knew God, knew about God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for the images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. What happened? The people knew about God, but they began making other idols to worship. They began worshiping other things that looked like human creatures or humanity. They exchanged the glory of the immortal God for worthlessness. See, we're all like the son in some way or another. We are rebellious. But God's grace is being shown even in the midst of our sinfulness. God has had a plan throughout history. Even when Adam and Eve sinned, God knew what was going to happen. God had a plan for what was going to happen before he even created. God was working through grace to save humanity. As you read through the Bible and understand some of the Old Testament, this father could have very well disowned his son or even had him taken outside the gates and stoned because he was dishonoring him. The father could have had his son killed, Deuteronomy chapter 21, talking about some of the law towards parents. But this father didn't choose to do that. He chose, even in the midst of his son's sin, to show grace. He grants him his requests and allows him to go off, even when he knows that it's probably going to be harmful to his son. Even when he knows it's probably not the best decision, it's not the wisest choice, but in his grace, he allows the son to make his own choices. You see, God's grace allows us to live out the wicked desires of our hearts. But God's grace also allows us to come to him. Later in the book of Romans, God shows his love for us, Paul writes, in that while we were still sinners, just like this son, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Even while we were rejecting God's grace, even while we were rejecting God, acting like the Son, He sent Christ to die for us. Let's read more in our text here, verse 17. But when He came to Himself, the Son, when He came to Himself, realized, He said, "How many of my Father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my Father, and I will say to Him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before You. I am no longer worthy to be called Your son. Treat me as one of Your hired servants." We have grace realized. Grace rejected, but then grace realized. Something happens in verse 17. This son has been out feeding pigs. He has nothing to eat. And he realizes, it dawns on him, the light bulb goes on one day. He says, "I remember when I was living with my Father what life was like. His servants lived better than I'm living right now. Maybe I'll go back." That would have to take some humility. That would have to take a step to go back and not be seeking his position or his title again, but just to say, "Father, I can't believe what I did to You. I sinned against You. That was wrong. Will You make me a servant? Because the way I've been living has been horrible. The way I've been living, I didn't have any food. I didn't have anything. I didn't have shelter. Can You at least make me a servant and treat me like one of Your servants?" You see, it wasn't until he reached his lowest point that he began to realize the grace that he'd been being shown all along. He realized the grace that his Father was even showing the servants. He said, "I'll say to Him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before You. I'm no longer worthy to be called Your son. Treat me as one of Your servants." You see, the son had experienced God's grace before. There are many in the world who haven't experienced that grace, who don't know about God's grace and mercy. Paul writes in the book of Romans, "How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed?" He's asking questions, and how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard, and how are they to hear without someone preaching it to them? Paul is saying there needs to be somebody out there proclaiming the gospel message, or they're never going to hear. They're never going to know. They're never going to come to this realization. Franklin was one who he'd heard it all of his life. That's what his dad did. And yet he still went through a period of rebellion. But he had a moment in his life where he had a realization. For some reason, God drew him to read through the book of John that night, and it caused something in his mind to go, "I'm not living right anymore. I need to change the way I've been living." The son came to a realization. And so the son comes to his father and asks for forgiveness. And the father reaches out in grace, just like if one of us were to come to God and ask for forgiveness, God would reach out in grace and forgiveness and offer salvation. Jesus is waiting. Revelation chapter 3 says, "Behold, I," Jesus is saying this, these are in red letters in my Bible, "I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me." Jesus is saying, "I just want to have a relationship. I'm waiting. I'm standing at the door. You just got to knock. If you knock on the door, I'll open the door and we'll have this relationship." God is just waiting for people to come back and ask for forgiveness. God is awaiting people who recognize their sinfulness. He's awaiting people who begin to recognize and realize the grace that He has for them, and He's calling them back to Himself. Our next verse is verse 20. "And He arose." This is the son still. "And the son arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring the fattened calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to celebrate. While the son was still a long way off, the Bible says the father saw him and had compassion. This father's been sitting there waiting. He didn't know how long it would take, but he was watching. He was awaiting his son's return. He had missed him ever since he had left, and we don't know. In Jesus' parable, we're not told how long that had been. We don't know how long this son had been away, but it had been for a period of time. And so this father's been watching. So there's this time of grace that's given, grace that's celebrated. The father gives grace to the son. This shows us the character of God, for the kingdom of heaven is like a wayward son who has run away and a gracious heavenly father that's willing to welcome him back. Grace is given in this moment. The son comes back and he smells horrible. What has he been doing? He's been playing around with pigs. Out in the hot, yucky weather. Probably doesn't smell very good. Probably hadn't showered in a while. Maybe he took a dip in a lake or something at some point. But he probably smells pretty bad. But what does the father do? The father says, bring me my best robe and put it on him. Bring the ring and put it on his finger. Bring sandals and put them on his feet. In essence, the father was raising him back up to his position. Then he says, throw a big celebration for him. For my son was lost, but now is found. Grace is given and grace is celebrated. This parable doesn't have these words, but Jesus had spoken these words in the other two parables. Verse 7 of chapter 15. Just so I tell you, as he's talking about the lost sheep, just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Verse 10, after the parable of the lost coin, just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. There is celebration when someone finally realizes, when God is able to bestow his grace upon them because they come back to him. They return and they ask for forgiveness. There's joy, there is celebration when God's grace is given. Finally, in our next section, verse 25. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, the servant said to the older son, your brother is come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. What was the older son's response? But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you and I never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. The older son was angry. It represents grace despised. The older son couldn't believe what his father had done. He'd welcomed him back. He put him back in a position of authority. you remember this passage, the whole reason Jesus is saying these things, back to verse 1, now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Jesus is about to put up a mirror to the Pharisees' face and say, "Here, look, this is how you are acting. You are like the older son who gets angry when God shows grace, when the father shows grace to the younger son." God had showed grace to the Jews over and over and over and over again in the Old Testament. God had shown grace to these Pharisees. Right now they're standing there speaking with the Son of God, and yet they don't realize that they're blind. But they get angry when they see Jesus eating with these sinners. Why? Why would Jesus welcome them? Why would Jesus be willing to talk with them? And Jesus tells a parable. He wants to show them what their anger looks like. Their anger is just like the older son who is angry because the father's made a decision about who should get grace and who shouldn't get grace. God's grace is now offered to all people. Even the vilest of sinners are offered God's grace. And at times I think we act like the Pharisees. We say, well, that person smells bad. They don't deserve God's grace. That person doesn't act right. They don't deserve God's grace. They talk weird. They don't deserve God's grace, or I'm afraid to talk to them because they might not like me anymore. Or it might make me uncomfortable, or it might make them uncomfortable, or it might cost me something. And so we don't share the grace of God. What was the emphasis of grace in this passage? Grace comes from God. God is the one who's giving grace. The Father is the one. Grace causes us to seek forgiveness from God. It was this realization that the Son had of what the Father would even do for his own servants. God gives grace to those who will come to him and ask for forgiveness. Accepting God's grace causes great rejoicing in heaven, and God's grace is for everyone. God's grace is more about him and less about us. God's grace is more about his character and less about ourselves. God's grace is poured out on those who believe in him. He decides to show his grace, his compassion, his kindness, and his love. We get to be the object of his grace. We get to receive his grace, as we talked about last week. But it's his grace. It's God's grace, and he gets to decide who he wants to show his grace to and who he doesn't want to show his grace to. We don't get to make that decision. That might seem unfair. Next week, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 20, another parable where it does seem pretty unfair. Parable of the workers in the vineyard. It does seem pretty unfair who God shows his grace to or how much grace he gives to them. But it's God's decision to make. Let me challenge you this week. Maybe you haven't acted exactly like the son in this book, or maybe you don't have a past like Franklin Graham, but we all have things in our lives, sins that we commit. When I was little, I was really good at lying. I could sneak quite a bit past my parents. My parents listen to most of my messages online, so they'll validate that, I'm sure. But I was really good at lying when I was little. As I grew up as a teenager, I did have a rebellious phase into my late teens and 20s, I rebelled against God. Even now, I still have things in my life that God is working on in me to get those out of my life because they don't belong there anymore. But God shows grace. This week, I want you to take a piece of paper. Maybe it's the backside of your notes or whatever you want to do. You're going to end up ripping it up when you're done. So you probably, if you want to keep your notes, you don't want to write on the backside. But I want you to take a piece of paper. I want you to write something down. Maybe it's something you're currently struggling with, a sin that's you're just currently struggling with in your life. Write it down there. Maybe it's a couple sentences about that, or maybe it's something you had in your past, but when you're done with writing that down, I want you to take it, I want you to just rip it up. Throw it away, because that's what God does in His grace with our sin. When we ask forgiveness of Him, the Bible says He casts that sin as far as the east is from the west. So far does He remove our transgressions, our sins from us. As far as the east is from the west, God's willing to do that. God's grace is bigger than the sins I commit, and God offers grace to those who come to Him and seek forgiveness. Would you pray with me? Father, we come before You, and God, we thank You that You are a compassionate God, that You are a forgiving God, that You are a loving God who is just awaiting for us to return, to ask for forgiveness, to seek You out. You're there waiting for us. And God, I pray that as we struggle through things, we wouldn't end up finding ourselves at our lowest point in the mud and the muck of our filthiness, but God, we would come to that realization quicker and would come back to You and ask forgiveness because You're just waiting there with grace and open arms to welcome us back. God, help us as we go through these times in our life, times of rebellion, that they would lead us back to You, that they would cause us to come back into a relationship with You and, God, be welcomed back. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.